Okay, today's daf is daf Kaf Aleph. We just finished the section where we were trying to understand the Braita, the quote of the Braita, then we were trying to understand different lines of that Braita, right? The quote of the Braita for a question on Rav, we answered that. And as we used the Braita as an answer. But in the Braita it said, I would have thought, right, it says Korban Melech, if it hadn't said Korban, if it had just said Korban, you would have thought even Etzim and Dam. And then we said, right, we ended with yesterday about the Etzim. We said, oh, really, it shouldn't be Etzim, because that would be, that's who would think Etzim is a Korban? That's Rebbe, and Rebbe himself thinks you do need to salt Etzim. So we ended with saying that forget the word Etzim. Etzim doesn't belong in there. The word should be Nisachim. Okay? It means we would have thought even the Nisachim and the Dam. And then came the Pesukim to teach you not. So now they, and then in order to prove that Nisachim don't need Dam, what did we say? We brought a Braita, so we're going to start with that Braita now, the beginning, the first line in Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Aval Hayayin v'haitzim Hayayin v'hadam v'haitzim v'haktorit ain tu min melech. So now they say, wait, this Braita in and of itself is problematic. Mane, who does this Braita hold by? Right, the Yayin was the Nisachim, that gave us our proof. But now, once we already have this Braita, we say, who does this Braita work with? And that's what we kind of said yesterday. There's a bit of an issue here. E Rebbe Kashi Etzim. If it's Rebbe, Etzim doesn't make sense, because according to him, Etzim do need Melach, and this puts Etzim on the list of those that don't need Melach. And E Rabbanan, and if it's not Rebbe, then it's the standard opinion, then Kashi Ktoret, because as we saw in our Braita said, the Ktoret needs Melach. So that's what we said. There was a bit of a girsa about whether Ktoret is in there or not in there. So now the answer, Hi Tana Hu Ditanya. This must be a different Tana that we see in the following Braita. Okay, now there's this Rebbe, there's Rabbanan, but now there's a third opinion. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Ma Prat Meforash Davar Shemakabel Tumavo Leli Shim. Now there's, remember, why would Ktoret be included in needing melach? Because it has the exact same criteria as the mincha. Remember we said it was a klal, upratu klal. And therefore we have everything that's like a mincha. And what was like the mincha? That acherim ba'im chovala, right? That you need wood to burn the etzim in order to be able to burn whatever item it is, whether the mincha, the levona, the ktoret, all of that. So according to our Tana and our Braita that we brought, ktoret's going to be need melach, and therefore this Braita doesn't make sense. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, but not Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we explain the prat in a different way. There's a different criteria about the mincha. From that, we're going to learn to all the other things, which we're going to end up excluding the ktoret. So what's this uniqueness about the mincha? Maha prat mefurash davar shemekabel tumah. Number one, it's mekabel tumah. Okay. Number two, Ole le'ishim, right? So, mekabel tumah means it's susceptible to impurities. It can become impure. Now, we're going to see now what is not going to be, okay? So, ole le'ishim, it gets burned. V'yesh no'am is be'ach ha'chitzon. And the third criteria is, where does the mincha get burned? On the outer mizbech, right? Not the inner. Here, we're going to see where we exclude ktoret. Because ktoret doesn't get burned on the on the outer mizbech, it gets burned on the mizbech hazahav inside the hechal. So therefore, af kol davar shemekabel tumah v'ole li'ishim v'yesh no'al mizbech hachitzon. So now we're going to get a list of why yayin, dam, etzim, ktoret, according to this Tana, are all excluded. Yatzu etzim she'em mekablim tumah. Now why aren't etzim mekablim tumah? Because the etzim are logs. In order to be mekabel tumah, susceptible to impurities, it has to be either a kli, or a vessel, or a food. And a log is not a kli, it doesn't collect anything. It's not a food, nobody eats wood. So therefore, etzim is not susceptible to impurities. So therefore, etzim are out. Yasu dam v'yayin, because ein olim li'ishim, they don't get burned by a fire, right? They get poured on the mizbech, or poured on the mizbech. Yatzak toret she'ena mizbech hachitzon. Okay, so now we have exactly this Braita is the author of this. The author of this Braita is Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and that's how we get both, right? Also Etzim, also Yayin, also Ktoret, and Dam, who everybody agrees with. But some of the others are a subject of debate. Yayin is also not a subject of debate. The main debate is the Etzim and the Ktoret. That's what we saw, where there's some opinions that say they need salt and some opinions that say they don't need any salt. Okay, now we're going to go back to, there was a special limud that got Dam off the list. Remember? So, Elatama demi'ate kra l'dam. Remember we said, me'al minchatcha v'lo me'al damcha. Okay, the end of that pasuk. So we darshan that to exclude dam. So now they're going to say, halav hachi hava amina dam libay melach. So now they say, it sounds like if it weren't for the pasuk, what would you have thought? The dam needs salt. Now this is going to be a problem. Why? Kevan demalche nafik lemi torat dam. As soon as you put salt into the blood, it's no longer called blood. You've ruined the blood, basically, and you can't offer it. So the question is, how could you have thought that salting dam was going to be allowed, it was going to be, let's say, obligatory, when salting the blood would basically disqualify the blood from being poured on the mizbeach? So there'd be no way you could salt blood. So they're basically questioning if there's no way you can salt blood, because then once you salt it, we're going to see how we know that once you salt it, you can't bring it on the mizbeach. We'll see that in a minute. But since, if you, assuming that's our assumption, if you salt blood, you can't bring it on the mizbeach, then you certainly don't need a pasuk to say that you don't, there's no chiyuv of salt in the blood, because it would be obvious that if you already can't bring the blood, then you'd have no way to ever bring blood on the mizbeach. As soon as you put the salt in, it's disqualified. So you certainly don't need a pasuk for that. So why is there a pasuk?
Salt changes the status of anything, and salt could also change the status of, you can learn from that.
So they're right. So they're claiming that salt only changes the status of blood, okay? And they're we're gonna see here. Da'amar ze'ere, amar Rabbi Chanina. Dam shebishlo. Okay, we're going to now see three statements. Obviously, only one of them is going to be relevant for our purposes. But Zairi says in the name of Rabbi Chanina, dam shebishlo, if you cook up blood, eino over alav. Okay, now we're going to talk about the pasuk. If you remember the pasuk where we learned the chiv of dam from, I have to remember. I want to read it inside. I just forgot for a second where the pasuk is. It's from here, Vayikra Yudzayin. Yud Aleph Yud Bet. Okay? We're going to see that here, Vayikra Yud Zayin. Okay. Ki nefesh habasar badam. Okay, here, let's go back for a minute. Ish ish mi b'nei Yisrael u'minagir agar b'tocham this pasuk yud, asher yochal kol dam. Okay, you're not allowed to eat dam. V'natati panai b'nefesh ha'ochelet et adam, v'yichrati oto mikarev amai. You get karet if you eat dam. Why do you get karet for eating dam? Ki nefesh habasar badam hi. Okay, because the nefesh is in the soul, is in the blood. It's like what makes it live. And this is the part of the animal that I gave you to provide you with atonement. And because of that, you're not allowed to eat the dam, okay? Ki adam u'banefesh yechaper, al kein amarti l'bnei Yisrael. It's a very interesting pasuk, right? And therefore, I told bnei Yisrael, kol nefesh mikem lo tochal dam, v'agir agar v'tochem lo yochal dam. Okay, so you're not allowed to eat blood because the blood is what provides us with atonement. Now, if that's the case, then whatever blood provides you from atonement is the blood that you're going to get karet for eating. But if it's blood that can't provide you with atonement, then you're not going to get karet. There's no iser to eat the blood. You understand? Because they're connected. Okay? So Ze'eri says like this. So anytime he's going to say you're not over alav, meaning there's no iser to eat the dam, it's also that you're not allowed to bring it on the mizbeach, okay? Because they're integrally connected. So he says, dam, so the first thing is dam should be shlo eino over alav. If you cook up blood, what happens to blood? It's going to get thicker and coagulate. So if you cook blood, you're not over alav. There's no iser to eat that kind of blood, which assumes also you can't bring it on the mizbeach. The Rav Yehuda Dide Amar. Okay, first Rav Yehuda said the name of Ze'eri. Oh, sorry, I skipped a line. Dam shebishlo eino over alav. The Rav Yehuda Amar Ze'eri. Okay, the first statement Ze'eri said in the name of Rav Chanina. The second statement Rav Yehuda says in the name of Ze'eri. This is the one that's important for us. Dam shemalcho eino over alav. If you salt blood, there's no forbidden. There's no iser to eat it. You've already changed its status. And likewise, you won't be able to sacrifice it. You won't be able to pour it on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Didama, Rabbi Yehuda himself said, this is a different halacha, just once we're making these statements, and it's first Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Ze'eri, now he's saying his own statement, Evarim Shetzla'an Ve'he'elan, we learned this already, if you take the Eivar, first you roast it, then you put it on the Mizbeach, at that point, what's going to be the difference, right? You've already taken out like the good smell, and therefore, ein behem mishum l'reach nichach. It's not going to have this nice smell, and therefore, you also can't put them on the mizbeach, right? You have to burn them on the mizbeach and don't roast them first. So, ma'u detema. So now, the question is, why do we need a special pasuk to exclude dam, right, from the chiyuv of melicha? If already, if you put melach on it, it's going to change its status. You can't even bring it on the mizbeach. Then, of course, right, so we're back to our original question. So now they're going to say, ma'u detema mishtibuhu mashuhu lemitzvah ba'alma. Maybe when they say, if you salt the blood, right, notice even the words they use, right, you wouldn't say, I salt... Say I put some salt on my food, but if you say I salted, like usually we talk about when we salt meat, when you put a lot of salt on it to take out the blood. Okay, so you might have thought that when it says blood shemalcho means you put a lot of salt, but maybe for this mitzvah, right, you only need to put a little bit of salt, that there's some salt on it, and maybe that wouldn't change the status of the blood, and you'd still be able to pour it. Kamash malan, that's what you need the drashat to say. Dam doesn't need salt. Okay. Now we're going to get into, since we already quoted Ze'eri on this thing about Dam Shebishlo, we're going to talk about Dam Shebishlo. Gufa. Amar Ze'eri, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Dam Shebishlo eino over alav. Yativ Rava v'ka Amar la lahashmata. So Rava was sitting and he said exactly this limud of Ze'eri, that if you cook blood, there's no iser, and also then you can't bring it on the Mizbeach. Eitiv Abaye, Abaye questions him and says, what do you mean? It says in this other source, Hikpat adam va'achlo, o shimcha tachela v'gamo chayav. It says, if you curdle the blood and eat it, or you, right, this is the exact opposite, you take the chelev, which is a solid, right, there we took the liquid and we turned it into a solid. If you take the solid of chelev, the fat, and you melt it, and then you eat it, you're still chayav, okay? It doesn't matter that you changed its form, you're still chayav. So how do we have Ze'eri who says, if you cook up the blood, presumably, right, you curdle it, it's almost, you know, we assume these are the same things, so we're going to say, what are the different, right? Maybe they're not. You're going to be patur. So, lo kasha. Kan shikpa ba'or, kan shikpa ba'chama. If you remember Shabbat, we had things that are cooked by the sun and things that are cooked by on a flame. So here also we can distinguish between, if you cooked it up on a flame, what's going to happen, obviously, if you cook it up on a flame, the status, right, when it curdles, it's going to stay in that status. If it just the sun cooked it, it's going to be a lighter type of cooking. Okay? So, if it coagulated from the... Okay, we're going to talk about the differences in a minute. But one is ikpaba or, then you're actually going to be chayav if you then drink the blood. And if it coagulated by... I'm sorry, by the sun, right? I confused for a second, or in sun. If you coagulate by the chama from the sun, then you're going to be chayav in blood, because that's a lighter type of cooking. And if you do it, but with a flame, with a fire, then you're going to be, then you're going to be patur. So now they're going to explain. Hikpa ba'or lo hadar, v'chama hadar. The Gemara says, if you do it on a fire, then it won't go back to its original state, and therefore it's changed in status, and therefore you're not chayav. But by the sun, it will go back. So now they have a question. They say, really? Bechama nami? You're really going to say that this can go straight back to being blood and you can bring it on the mizbeach and also be chayav if you eat it? Lema ho'il v'itchi, itchi. Why don't we just say, once it's no longer dam momentarily, when it curdled by the sun, even though it'll go back to its original state, at this moment, you can no longer put it on the mizbeach. And we learned, right? Once something's nidche, it's nidche in the mikdash. So why don't we then say it's no longer called dam anymore? Because it had that moment where it was no longer considered dam. So we shouldn't consider it dam anymore. Why don't we say that? So now, and how do we know this? Daha ba'i mine rebi mani mi rabbi Yochanan. Dam shekarash va'achalo mahu. If the blood coagulated and then you ate it, what's the situation? Amar lei ho il v'nitche yidche. So he says, since there was the moment of it was pushed off and it was no longer considered blood, it's nidche legamre. So here you have proof that that's what we should be saying. So how could you have answered, this is from the sun and this is from the fire? Because no matter what, right? Since it was nidche at that moment, even if it can go back to its original state, it shouldn't matter. Ishtik, he didn't know what to answer. So Amar Lei. So now he comes, Abaye says to him, Dilma Vadai. There's a very strange lashon. Dilma Vadai. What does Dilma mean? Maybe. Vadai means definitely. So it's a very strange lashon. You can see there's an aleph there with Cheikh to the Bach, who says you should get rid of the word Vadai because it doesn't make any sense, right? Or you could say, you know, maybe this is the way to say it, you know, kind of in a definitive, even though you're suggesting maybe. Okay, anyway, that's not important. Either which way, he says, maybe you could say, kam b'chata'ora chitzoniyot, kam b'chata'ora pnimiyot. Okay, there's actually a debate about whether he's rejecting entirely the distinction between sun and fire, or maybe this is a continuation and just fixing it and saying, it's true that fire for sure is not. And within sun, we can distinguish between, if it was heat coagulated by the sun, we can distinguish between chataora chitzonion and chataora pnimiyot. So there's a debate about how to read this, about whether we rejected entirely the first mahalach, or this is within the first mahalach. Okay, but now what's the distinction? Why should we make a distinction between these two things? Amar, et kara milta de amar Rav Chisda. Okay, you should remember this thing that Rav Chisda said. I'm going to remind you that dam shekarash b'chataot, it should say probably, right, b'chataot ha-chitzoniot v'achalo chayav. Why? Because it says v'lakach v'natan. If you coagulate blood, and then what do? At that point, the blood is in a solid form. When it's in a solid form, can you take it and put it on the mizbeach? Yeah, you can actually, because you can take a solid and put it on the mizbeach. There's no problem. And therefore, since v'lakach v'natana marachmana, v'hai bar l'kicha unitinu. And therefore what? In the chata'ora chitzoniyot, where the chiyuv of the dam is to take it and put it on the mizbeach, since a solid form can be put on the mizbeach, even though dam shekarash, again, now you have to debate whether they're talking only about by the sun or they're talking about even by the fire, any dam that coagulated, right, again, or maybe just from the sun, since potentially you could put it on the mizbeach, therefore what? Therefore, it's valid to go on the mizbeach, and therefore you're chayav al achilato. So that's going to be the source that says you're chayav. But when it comes to the chataora pnimiyot, what does it say? Chataora pnimiyot v'achalo patur. Okay, so now why? V'taval v'hiza amar rachmana. You're going to be patur for eating that kind of blood. Why? Because it says you have to dip your finger and sprinkle it. Now you can't dip your finger into a solid, and you can't sprinkle a solid. So therefore, v'hai la bar tefila v'hazau. Okay, so that's his distinction. Okay, so this is Rava's explanation of, right, Rava, based on Rav Chisda, of what we said before about we had the distinction between one source, the Eri, who said, Dam Shabishlo, you know, Over Alav, and then we had the source which said, right, she, Hikpat Adam Ba'achalo, Chayav. Okay? So he's going to answer the Brayta like that. Now we're going to say, that was all to explain the Eri, basically. Okay? Now we're going to say that Rava Dide Amar, but Rava himself said, I'm going to take it even one step further. I'm going to say I disagree with Zairi. What did Zairi say? You're not chayav, right? And the Braita said you're chayav. And what did we say? The Braita was the chataot ha, right? When the Braita said you're chayav, he was talking about the chataot chitzoniyot. And when Zairi said it, he was talking about the chataot pnimiyot. So Zairi said, you're patur on chataot pnimiyot, dam that was supposed to go on the chataot pnimiyot. If you eat it, right, dam v'chata pnimi, then instead of putting on the mizbeach, you eat it, right, that, and it was karash, right, and also you can't put it on the mizbeach, that's obvious because it's solid. So anyway, that's an issue. But now he says, I disagree with him. I think even the dam of the chataot pnimiyot, you're going to be chayav if you eat it. Okay, why? He says, Ho'il u'kinegdo ra'oi b'chata'ora chitzoniyot. He says, since the dam of a chatat chitzonit will be chayav, right, let me just remind you, right, the dam chatat chitzoni is the classic dam chatat. Those are the regular chataot that go on the outer mizbeach. The chataot pnimiyot are the unique ones, the parhel and devashot tzibor, when the tzibor makes a mistake and they write a mistake in judgment, and the Yom Kippurim one, the par and the seir go in there. Okay, and a bunch of others. So now we're going to say, since we can come, are not so different one from the other. So if we're going to forbid dam shakahash and came from a chatat chitzoni, we're also going to forbid a chatat pnimi, even though potentially it can't be brought on the mizbeach. We're still going to forbid it for eating because there's a parallel case to it. We're going to say chatat chitzoni and chatat pnimi are parallel cases. They're both chataot. They're both dam that's brought on the mizbeach. One inside, one outside. That's parallel. Since they're parallel, we're going to say, even though technically speaking, you can't actually bring the solid, you can't dip your finger in and sprinkle it, we're still going to forbid the dam from eating. So it comes from Papa, and he says, based on what you're saying, I'm going to add even another level. Amra Papa, hilkach dam chamor. Now, a dam of a chamor can't be brought on the mizbeach because don't sacrifice chamorim. Okay? It's not allowed. It's not a Torah animal. Dam chamor shakarash v'achalo chayav. So he says, if you're going to take parallel cases, right? You can read this in two ways. You could either say he's being sarcastic, or it sounds like from the Mefarshim that he's actually being serious. He's saying, if you eat the blood, you take the blood of a chamor and you coagulate, you know, you cook it up and it becomes coagulated, and then you eat it. Okay, again, depending on whether you say it's from the sun or not from the sun, but either which way, not necessarily from the sun. And you eat it, again, depending on the two ways of reading the sugya, but you're going to be chayav since the dam of a chamor is like parallel to the dam of a par or a para or some kind of animal that could be brought on the mizbeach. Okay? So they seem to take this halacha, even though I think it could be read possibly as he was being sarcastic and as, wow, you're really going far. You know, if you take that, you could say even this. Okay? Amar of Gidel, Amar Ze'eri. Now we're going to have another statement in the name of Ze'eri about blood, not the same kind of thing. Okay? Totally different issue. Dam ben lach ben yavesh. I mean, it's a similar issue in terms of dry blood or liquid blood, but not having to do with korbanot, chutzetz. Let's say you go to the mikvah and you have blood, you have a scab, right? Dry blood. So Ze'eri says, whether it's lach or whether it's yavesh, it's a chatzitza. So then they say, meitivei, but wait, this source of contradicts. Hadam v'hadyo v'advash v'chalav. Is it chalav or chalav? I guess it's probably chalav. Chalav. Yiveshin chotzitzin, lachin enan chotzitzin. Okay, all these things, if they're dry, then they are chotzitz. And if they're lach, then they're not chotzitz. If they're liquid, they're not. So what do we answer? Lo kasha, ha de sarich, ha de lo sarich. When we say that that lach is not chotzitz, we're talking about that it doesn't really adhere to the skin. Like if you just have a little blood coming out, but it's not stuck onto your skin, then it's not going to be a chatzitza. But once it's stuck onto your skin, it's going to be a chatzitza. Okay. Timlach. Lamai ate. So now we're going back to our original pasuk about the melicha. Okay. So remember the pasuk. It said, kol korban minchatcha b'melach timlach. Right? It seems like a double lashon, b'melach timlach. Right? It could have just said Timlach, right? So now they're going to say Timlach lemai ante. Why do you need that double lashon? Lechiditanya, for this brayta. Bimelach, if it said salt, yachol tivonehu. Okay, we're not going to yet know what this word tivonehu is. We're going to have to deal with this in the Gemara right now. Just assume, we don't know yet. You might have thought to season, okay? Just to season it. We don't know what that means yet. Talmud lamar, Timlach. Therefore, it says Timlach, so it teaches you not tivonehu. We'll see exactly what that means when we get to the Gemara on this brayta. Eating lach, if it says salt, yachol b'mei melach. You might have assumed that it's enough just to put salt water on it. You don't have to put actual salt. You could put salt that's diluted into water. Now, I'm going to explain it one way, but I'm going to tell you that in theory, one could say also that mei melach is more, I'm explaining it that it's less stringent, but you could actually say mei melach is more stringent. Because what does mei melach mean? It means that the salt has to get everywhere. If you put salt water on the meat, the water will get everywhere. If you put a little salt on the meat, the salt might just get in one spot and not over the entire thing. So, or the meat or whatever it might be, the mincha or whatever offering. So, mei melach could be understood in two ways, either more machmir or more mekel. You might have thought mei melach. Talmud lomar bimelach. Okay, that's why it says timlach bimelach, right? Or bimelach timlach, that it has to be salt, actual salt, not salt water. Velo tashbit melach. Okay, so then the pasuk continues, right? It says bimelach timlach, velo tashbit melach. So, why does it say lo tashbit melach, right? You shouldn't ever not have melach. Have melach she'ena shovetet. You have to bring salt that's always available. What is that? Ezo melach stomit. Okay, that's the stone salt, which is a different type of salt, and it's salt that you can always get, because you can always get, what would they do? They would get it from the waters in the area. They would evaporate the water, and you would end up with salt, right? Anyone who's gone to Dead Sea knows what I'm talking about. Uminayin shim lo matza melach stomit. So according to lo tashbit melach, it would have to be salt that can always be found, like the melach stomit. But what if lo matza melach stomit? How do you know? Shemibi melach istroknit. Okay, it's another type of salt. I forgot exactly what defines this kind of salt. It's right, minakarka, right? It's from the ground. It's mine salt, basically. Salt that you would mine in a salt mine. Talmud Lamar, takriv. Okay, therefore takriv means, right? Takriv kol shehu. Okay, we're gonna say his name. Takriv teaches us two things. Takriv kol shehu, any amount. Takriv mikol makom, from anywhere, okay, any kind of salt. Takriv afilu b'shabbat, okay? Takriv, even on Shabbat, you're allowed to. Takriv afilu b'tum'ah, okay? Meaning, even on Shabbat, you're allowed to put the salt on the korban. We'll talk about this in 1 second. And even if the korban was tameh, because remember, in a korban tzibor, tumah hutra b'tzibor, you could bring a korban tameh. Even if the korban was tameh, you can still put salt on it, okay? So now, first of all, the Shabbat is very interesting. The Rashba has two questions about the Shabbat. He says, first of all, why do you need a drasha to say Shabbat? We know that you can bring all korbanot on Shabbat, right? You're allowed to slaughter the animal. You're allowed to do all these things. So, of course, malicha you should be allowed to do. So, what, right? Why would you need a special drasha to tell you're allowed to do malicha b'Shabbat when everything for korbanot is tar? So, he says that Shabbat is docha, that all the shchita, zrika, holacha, those are all the ikar avodah. And this, like we've always made these distinctions, what the basic aspects of, right, the most important aspects of the sacrificial rites, and the lesser important aspects. So even though melicha is necessary, it's still not the ikar avodah, right? You wouldn't think of it if you'd say, what are the major, right? We've always talked about it. There's kabbalat adam, and holacha, and zrika. Those are the main avodot, and shchita also, we've had a debate, isn't avodah, isn't not avodah. But anyway, melicha is not ikar avodah, so you might have thought maybe it's not tochei Shabbat, because it's not an ikar avodah. Now, of course, the question is, what avodah would salting be? Right, what malacha is salt? Right, we put salt on our food. No one ever said, "Oh, you can't put salt on your food on Shabbat." So, salting—the issue would be they would salt the skin of the animal to treat it. Right, that's called ibud. Okay, ma'abed. So that would be the malacha. So, why are we allowed to put salt on food? Because that's for eating purposes. That's different. Now, in this case, you might say it's not for eating purposes. Now, it's when things are not for eating purposes. Certain melachot, you know, there's things you can do that are allowed for eating, but they're not allowed if you're not planning to eat it. So even if you're putting it on food, if you're not doing it for eating purposes, so one, I'll give you an example. When it comes to tzvi'ah, we can color foods. Like, for example, you mix, right, you put ketchup on rice. So the rice turns red when you do that. You're allowed to do that on Shabbat because you're doing it for eating. But the question is, what if you wanted to do that not for the purposes of eating? Okay, why would you want to do that? I don't know, but if for whatever reason, you know, I remember on Shabbat when I was, my kids, I think, when they were little, sometimes on Shabbat they make these concoctions, like that no one was actually eating. Like maybe you would say, if it's coloring something, that would not be a problem if you're not going to actually eat it. So here, since they're putting it on food, but it's not for the purposes of eating it, maybe it wouldn't be allowed, okay? So that would be the potential issue, but anyway, the drasha says it's allowed. Okay, so now we have to understand this word, the beginning of the Braita, where it said, Yachol Tivonehu. My Tivonehu. Amar Rabba Bar'ula Hachi Kamar. Yachol Yitbonenu Ketevim Betit. Maybe you have to mix the salt, like in large quantities, like the way you would put the straw into the clay to make the cement mixture. Amar Le Abaye, Ihachi Yitbonenu Mebaile. If it meant Yitbonenu to mix it, then it should have said yitbonenu and not tivonehu. That's not the same meaning. Elam rabaya yachol ya'asenu kibinyan. Tivonehu, like binyan. Okay, you might have thought it means you should make it like a binyan, like form the salt like a binyan, like a structure. Amar le rava ihachi yivonenu mebaile. It should have said, if I want to say, you should build it, right? Yivonenu, not tivonehu. Ela amarava yachol tivonehu. So Rava says it must be tivonehu, which makes no sense because that's exactly what our question was. So the Gemara says, my tivonehu. What does he mean when he says tivonehu? Amaravashi yachol yitem botam ki bina. Okay, they're going to take tivonehu, like make it like bina. What's bina? knowledge, right? One of the Chochma Bina V'Dat. So what is what? Now here we're going to have two different interpretations. Either a little knowledge can infuse an entire person. Likewise, you might have thought a little bit of salt would be enough. Talmud Lomar, Timlach. Okay, therefore it says Timlach, you have to put a lot on. Some people say it's the exact opposite, that you need a lot of Bina to make a person smart, and that here it means, oh, you don't need as much as you need. Okay, so there's a bit of a debate about this, which would then affect, again, about the Meimelach, whether, how depending how you read this, will affect the next line, which is you might have thought a Meimelach. Okay. Ketzad oseh, mevi, and now we're going to learn how you do the Malicha, when you do it. Mevi ha'ever, you take the piece of the body part, before you burn it, v'notein alav melach. Okay, and you put salt on it. V'chozer v'hofcho v'notein alav melach. So you put a little salt on one side, a little salt on the other side. What do you see here? It's not covering the entire thing. It's just a little bit of salt on either side. Uma alehu. Okay, that's how you do it. Amar Abaye v'chein likdera. Okay, he says, likewise here, it's the same way you do it when you salt. But here he's talking about salting... I think he's talking about salting the meat also when he says v'chein l'kdera. Right. When you have to salt the meat before putting it in a dish to cook, it's the same way. You do a little on one side, a little on the other side. Okay? And you don't, Rashi says, v'ein tzarich l'mochol yoter. You don't need any more than that. Rashi views this as a minimum sheet. You know, it's basically saying you don't need a lot. One could look at it as you need it on both sides, right? That's more than you might have thought. You might have thought you just put a little bit of salt on top. Right, it's saying on both sides. Tanu Rabbanan. Melach sha'al gabei ha'ever mo'alim bo. Okay, now the question is, this melach is hekdesh, right? It belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to use the melach from the, right? It's got hekdesh status to it. So if while the salt is on the meat, on the piece of the body part of the animal, and you take it off and use it, that's me'ila. Okay, you're misuse of consecrated property. But if you take salt shal gabei hakevesh v'shebiroshosho shel mizbeach, if you find it on the ramp or on the top of the mizbeach, ein mo'alim bo. Okay, there's big debate about what exactly. So we're going to see in a minute, there's a braita that describes the process. When they would put it on the aver, they would do it while they were on the ramp. And when they did it at the roshosho mizbeach, that was when they put the salt on the mincha. They would do the mincha on the roshosho mizbeach, right? There was no kevesh. Remember, the kevesh is where you go up to bring the body parts. This whole thing, you go up. Remember, there was the space between the ramp and the thing, and you throw it on. So the salting would be done on the ramp, and the salting for the mincha was done on the mizbeach, or next to the mizbeach. So now the assumption is, if you find the salt there, the first way of reading the sugya, Rashi's way of reading it, is, Rashi says, shenofel sham kishemochim et evarim, or the comets. Okay? In other words, the assumption is it fell while you were salting, meaning it got onto the meat and then fell off. Now, once it was used, okay, there's two ways you can read this. Already naset mitzvata, because the salt already went on. Once naset mitzvata, so you can't reuse it if it's already been used for a mitzvah. And therefore, it's not ro'oi l'shimush anymore. Once it's not ro'oi l'shimush, there's no din of me'ila. But some people say that this could even be before the melicha. And then what's the issue? That in theory, it belongs, you might have thought there's me'ila, because if the salt hasn't actually been used, who does it belong to? The treasury. However, we're going to learn in a bright in a few minutes that they permitted it for the hana of the kohanim. And therefore, if you find it on the ramp, even before it was used, this opinion says, you can use it based on this heter. They matir the salt of the salt of the mikdash to kohanim to get benefit from, in which case there would be no din of me'ila. Okay, so there's a debate about what kind of salt we're talking about. Was it used for the mitzvah? Is that why? Or is it because this special heter they gave to kohanim to use the salt of the mikdash, which we're going to have to get to and understand what exactly they're allowed to use it for. Okay, we'll get into all that soon. How do we know that melech shal gabei ever mo'alim bo? Because it says, Amar Rav Matna, my kra'a, where's the pasuk for this? V'yikrav tem lefnei Hashem, v'yishlichu hakohanim alehem melach. Okay, they brought it before Hashem, they poured the salt on it, v'helu otam olah l'Hashem. And then they sacrificed them, the assumption is them including the melach, so they call the melach a korban, basically an olah. So they say, that with the melach is an olah, so therefore you see that there's a din of ilah in the salt that's on the korban. Okay, tznan hatam. Now we're quoting a Mishnah, from Shkalim, Masechet Shkalim. ala melach va'ala etzim. Okay, we're missing the beginning, which is they made a tnai beitin, like they basically made a stipulation, the rabbis, that salt and the etzim, shehu ha'kohanim ne'otim bahen, that the kohanim are allowed to benefit from them. Okay, so now comes Shmuel, he wants to explain this Mishnah. In what sense are they allowed to benefit from them? For anything, what, they can go eat it if they want? So Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela lekorbanam. They only matir for the kohanim for their korbanot, which we're going to have to explain what does that mean for their korbanot. Aval la'achila lo, but they didn't allow them for eating purposes, okay? To eat the salt, no, but to use it for their sacrifices, yes. Okay, now, the first, so this is Shmuel. So we have a, let's just get the structure. Mishnah in Shkalim that says the rabbis came along and matired salt for the kohanim. Shmuel narrows the focus of that and says, well, they didn't matir it for eating, they only matir it for sacrifices. Now we have to understand, what about sacrifices did they matir? Okay, so my korbanam, kasal kadatach, originally they thought when they heard Shmuel that what is korbanam? Limloch korbanam, that they could use salt from the mikdash to put salt on their sacrifices. And le'echol meant achilat kodashim. And le'echol means even if they're eating all their meat that they're allowed to eat that they get from the matnot kuna, and they go to eat, let's say, their chatat meat that they get, so they can't salt the meat with the, you know, if they want to put some salt on for to make it taste better, they're not allowed to use the salt from the mikdash because that's not allowed. So now they say, but that doesn't make any sense because hashtel limloch orot kodashim yahavinan lachila kodashim lo yahavinan. Detanya, let's just go on for one more minute and then I'll go back and explain. Nimtzeit, because without reading the Sprite, you don't understand what they're saying. Nimtzeit ha-taomer b'shlosha mekomot ha-melech nituna. There were three places where there was salt in the Beit HaMikdash, and salt was used. Where? B'lishkat ha-melech, in the salt office, or I forget the word, lishka.
Chamber,
that's the word. The chamber of salt. Valgabe ha-kevesh, on the ramp. U'b'roshosh ha-mizbech. So why in these three places? We already know why two. I told you we get to this in a minute. B'lishkat ha-melech, this we haven't heard about yet. Shesham mochin orot kodashin, orot kodashin. That's where, what happened? The kohanim would get the skin of the animals. Remember the hide. That was one of the things the kohanim got. And in the chamber of salt, they would treat the ore that they got with salt. So there goes our question. If they were allowed, for the purposes of the skin, and what they get? They get the hide and they get the meat. So if they're allowed to treat the hide with the salt from the mikdash, obviously they can eat their meat with the salt of the mikdash. So it doesn't make sense to say that they're not allowed to use salt for eating means for achila of kodshim. Because, of course, they can eat kodshim. They can salt it. If they can, you understand the kavachomer? If they can salt the hide, they can obviously salt the food. Anyway, let's just finish with the braita, which we already know. Al gabe kevesh on the ramp, shesham mochin et ha'ivarim. Berosho, right, that's where they would salt the body parts of the animal. Berosho shel mizbech, shesham mochin makomets v'halavona, v'aktoret, u'minchat kohanim, u'minchat kohen mashiach, u'minchat nesachim, v'olat ha'och. These are all things that are brought straight to the top of the mizbech. They're not dealt with on the ramp, right? They go all the way up to the top of the mizbech and burnt there, so therefore they do the salting at the top. So now we're stuck with trying to figure out what did Shmuel mean when he said korbanam yes, achila no. Ela my la korbanam la'achilat korbanam. So now we switch it. Korbanam means eating the korbanot that they're allowed, just like they're allowed the hide. Umay la'achila achila dechulin. So what does achila mean? If they want to eat other food, regular foods, not kodshim, that they can't use salt from the mikdash. So chulin pshita. Obviously, what havamina would they have that when they're going to their, eating regular food, that they could take salt from the mikdash? What right would they have to do that? That you'd have to say you can't do that. My bao hatam. What are chulin doing there? The obvious thing is they're not obviously taking it home. They'll be doing it in the mikdash. What's chulin doing in the mikdash? So they say, afagav de amamar yochlu, sheyochlu ima chulin utruma, kadei sheyne echelet ala sova. Okay, there's certain things that we eat, like when it comes to the mincha is pretty small. You want the achila of the kodeshim to be done ala sova. So if there's not enough meat or there's not enough mincha and it's not going to fill up the kohen, we don't want it to be like he ate a measly part of it and he's not really full. That doesn't make it a nice kind of eating. So he's allowed to bring chulin and truma with him. He can bring food that's truma, he can bring food that's chulin, and he can eat it with his kodeshim stuff. So now you might think, well, since he's eating it with his kodeshim, maybe he can salt it. coming to teach you. You can't. Afilu hachi melach dekodshim lo yavina le. You can't put the salt from the Beit HaMikdash on that chulin meat that you're eating, you know, chulin, any kind of food that you're eating with your kodshim stuff. Amale Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, now hachi nami mistabra. I can even prove what you said, that's how you read. Le korbanam is lachila kodshim, and lachila is lachila chulin. Because the isa kadatach, my le korbanam limloch. What was our original havamina? What was the korbanam? To eat, to salt your korbanot. Now, I don't know if you thought about this, but what else do they salt korbanot with? That's the regular, where do we take the salt for all the korbanot? From the salt of the mikdash, right? Or at least we're gonna assume. So, isa kadatach, my le korbanam limloch, tamada nebetin, haloa nebetin lo. So, in other words, it sounds like if the rabbis didn't come and make a Tanai Beit Din about this, then you wouldn't be allowed to salt with, you'd have to bring salt from home. You couldn't use the Hekdesh salt. Why? And that makes no sense, because Hashta Yisrael Yahavinan, Lekanim Lo Yahavinan. It's when a Yisrael brings a korban, what do? We take salt from the Mikdash. So, for Yisrael, we're going to take salt from the Mikdash. There's an assumption that what? Kohanim have more rights to the anything in the Mikdash than anyone else would. So if a Yisrael gets salt from the Mikdash, then obviously the Kohanim gets salt from the Mikdash. Now we're going to actually challenge this assumption at the end. I hope we get there. But right now the assumption is Kohanim obviously have more rights to stuff in the Beit HaMikdash than Yisrael do. So, Ditanya, how do we know that, why would we say this logic, that Yisrael yavinan lekohanim lo yavinan? Yachol ha'omer hare alai mincha yavi melech mitoch beito. You might have thought, okay, now we're going to have a question. When a Yisrael, how do we know the Yisrael gets it from the Mikdash? There's a whole braita about it. So they're going to basically question, do you have to bring from your house or do you not? If you say, a regular person, not a kohen, I'm going to bring a mincha. Yavi melech mitoch beito, kederech shem yavi levona mitoch beito. Do you say that he has to bring the salt from his house just like he has to bring the frankincense from his own money? Vidinhu, it would be a kavachomer. Ne'mar, Nomar hevi mincha vehevi melach, v'ne'amar hevi mincha vehevi levona. And it says you have to bring a mincha, and with it you have to bring melach. This isn't a pasuk, but it's saying the pasuk tells you have to bring mincha and you have to bring salt with it. The pasuk also tells you have to bring mincha and you have to bring frankincense with it. So ma levona mitoch beito, ach melach mitoch beito. It's not exactly a kavachomer; it's just a logical inference. Okay, if this goes with the mincha and that goes with the mincha and that you have to bring on from your own money, then the salt you should also have to bring from your own money. Or maybe you would say the opposite. Ne'amar havei mincha v'avi melech. And it says, if you bring a mincha, bring salt. Ne'amar havei mincha v'avi etzim. Also, you have to bring etzim to burn. Now, when you go to the Beit HaMikdash, you have to bring your own logs to burn on the Mikdash? No. Ma etzim yishal tzibur. Where did they get the etzim from? From the machatzira shekel money. So since that comes from there, af melech mishal tzibur. So maybe you would say it's more like the etzim rather than the levona. Near Elami Domain. Why don't we see which is more similar to? Danim Davar Noheg Bacholas Bachim. Mi Davar Noheg Bacholas Bachim. Do we learn something that's in every korban, which is the etzim, right? And the salt. Va'al tuchiach levona she'ein nohagim bacholas bachim. But maybe we shouldn't learn it from levona because that's something unique for the mencha. So in which case we would say it does come from the Trumat Lishka, from the kupa of the Beit HaMikdash. Oh, kelech l'derech zu. Maybe you would say, danim davar habayimah b'kli achad, mi davar habayimah b'kli achad. Since the salt and the levona all go in the same kli as the mincha, maybe we should learn it from there and not from etzim that don't come ever together in a kli with it. V'al yochichu etzim she'enam bayimimah b'kli achad. So, we don't know which way to go. We have logical inferences all, you know, this way, that way. So, where do we go? Psukim, Talmud Lamar, Brit Melach Olam Hu. Says about the melach, it's a brit olam. Ulahalan hu omer, me'et b'nei Yisrael brit olam. Okay, this pasuk is about the b'yom Shabbat yarchenu l'fnei Hashem tami, me'et b'nei Yisrael brit olam. Ma lahalam mishel tzibur, right? This is about the lechem apanim. It's about the lechem apanim. Where do you get the money for the lechem apanim? It's mishel tzibur, and therefore afka mishel tzibur. Anything that says brit olam, we're going to say comes from the tzibur, because it's basically saying it's always going to be there, always going to be there. If you depend on people's own financial means, they might not have it. Not that salt is such an expensive thing, but okay. It could have been. Yeah, it was very expensive.
Well, for the Romans, mm-hmm. that was a method of payment for the soldiers.
Ah, okay. Okay, so there you have it. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to say it's Michel Tzibur. Okay, so now we're stuck with our question. If it's Michel Tzibur for Yisrael they get from the Lishka, why wouldn't the Kohanim? So Amar Le Rav Mordechai Le Rav Ashi, Hachi Ka Amar Rav Shisha Bered De Rav Idi. Lo Nitzracha Ela Le Ben Buchri. This was needed to, they needed to make this Tanai to allow the Kohanim to benefit, to get the salt to be used on their Korbanot, only according to Ben Buchri. Why? Ditnan, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hei Ben Buchri B'Yavne, Kol Kohen Shashokel Eino Chote. Ben Buchri said B'Yavne, any Kohen who gives the Machatzit HaShekel is not a Chote. Okay, what does this mean? It means he's not chayav, but if he wants to, he can. That's who's chayav in the machatzit shekel. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, lo ki ela kol kohen she'eino shokel chote. He says, what are you talking about? The kohenim, of course, are chayav. If you don't give the machatzit shekel, you're chote. Not that if you do give it, you're not chote. If you don't give it, you're chote. Ela shakohenim dorshim mikraz elatzmam. He says, it's a mistake the kohenim think they're not chayav. What do they think? It says, v'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh, lo te'achel. If a mincha, right, the mincha of the kohen has to be fully burned. Ho'il v'omer u'shtei alechem v'lechem apanim shelanu hi, he'ach ne'achalin. So that means, any mincha, take that drasha and take it one step further. Any mincha of a kohen has to be burned entirely. What about the mincha da'omer and the shtei alechem, v'lechem apanim? If we say, we would call those a mincha, if the Kohen participated in the machatzit shekel, it meant that his money was part of everyone's money, which means that when you bought the lechem apanim, the mincha omer, all those other things, it would technically belong to the Kohen. It would then fall into the category of kol minchat Kohen kalil, and you'd have to burn the whole thing, and that was something that people ate. And they didn't want to have it, that no one could eat it, right? The Kohenim got to eat it. If they said, right, it would all be burnt, if they were part of the machatzit shekel, their money's spent on this, they darshan, oh, then we'd have to burn it. And therefore, they thought, right, that they wouldn't be chayav, but they're mistaken. That's not the case. Ula ben Buchri, so now going back to Ben Buchri. Kevan, so now why would he say, if you give the machatzit shekel, you're not chote? Why would you think you'd be chote? You know, you might not be chayav, but what's wrong with bringing it? Kevan de lechatchila lamachayev, la tuye, since you're not, they weren't chayav to bring, ki mai teinami chotehu, de kama'ayo chulin la'azara. What's the issue? If you're not chayav, anything that doesn't have to be in the mikdash is chulin. So if you think that you're chayav, and you bring because you think you're chayav, what's going to happen? There's money that doesn't belong in the trumah lishka, and that's chulin ba'azara, and that's forbidden. Okay? So that's why, therefore, they would have thought you can't bring, right? So therefore, when can you bring? Okay? So you would... It's when he says, I'm giving a donation to the tzibur, I know I'm not chayav, but I'm giving it anyway. That's when you're not eno elachote. And why does he have to say this? Salkadat hachamina. Ki zachu lu rachman el Yisrael. De'it lu lishka. Lekoanim de'leit lu lishka. Lo zache be rachmana. Ka mashmalan. In other words, you might... Now, what's the logic here? You might have thought, okay, going back to our original theory, what did we say? If Yisrael gets from the Mikdash, right, the Kohanim all the more so get from the Mikdash. Now we're going to say who has more rights, and it's fascinating in terms of who has more rights to the Lishka, according to what we just said?
Yisrael.
The Yisrael, because they gave the money to buy the salt, and they bought in already. The Kohanim don't, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they're part of the Trumat Lishka, the whole money thing. But according to Ben Buchri, they're not part of it. And therefore, you would think maybe they don't get salt, and that's why the Chachamim made a special takana to say, even if you think that they don't have to give, they still get salt for their korbanot because they would have less zchuyot. So it's interesting in terms of, what do you think about it? In terms of people who donate to organizations, right? I'll just kind of take this into some. Do people who donate to organizations have more of a say, right? If you gave more money, do you have more of a say in what happens, right? Because you gave money. Or not necessarily, or maybe the people who are, you know, the workers in the organization who see everything from the inside, maybe they have more rights. You know, you could sort of throw that as something food for thought for sure.